Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the UFlex Q2 FY19 earnings conference call hosted by Edelweiss Securities Limited. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touch-tone telephone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Shraddha Sheth from Edelweiss Securities. Thank you, and over to you, ma'am.
Thank you, Karuna. On behalf of Edelweiss, let me welcome you all to the Q2 FY19 earnings call of UFlex Industries. From the management today, we have Mr. Anand Sri Chaturvedi, the Vice Chairman, Mr. Rajesh Bhatia, Group CFO, and Mr. Rajesh Agrawal, the VP Investor Relations. So without any further ado, I'll hand over the call to Mr. Agrawal and take the call from here. Thank you, and over to you, Rajesh.
Thank you, Shraddha. Good evening, everyone, and welcome to the second quarter 2019 earnings call of UFlex Limited. On the call today, we have Vice Chairman Mr. Anand Sri Chaturvedi, Mr. Rajesh Bhatia, Group CFO, and other members of the senior management team. Let me quickly give a brief introduction on Mr. Chaturvedi. Mr. Anand Sri Chaturvedi holds a graduate degree from Babson College with a triple major in finance, global strategic management, and economics. He learned the trade of flexible packaging both domestically and internationally with hands-on experience as a trainee and apprentice in India, Mexico, Poland, Egypt, UAE, and subsequently spearheaded the expansion of UFlex in the United States of America. He is currently serving as Vice Chairman FlexPens and is heading the overseas business. Mr. Anand Sri Chaturvedi brings with him a vast array of experience right from his first job at the age of 15 as an intern and assistant to the late U.S. Senator Edward M. Kennedy, followed by stints at DreamWorks, TJ Maxx, Accenture, Mubadala, and his own venture capital firm that he co-founded while at college. Mr. Chaturvedi is additionally vested with the responsibility of global product stability, R&D, HR protocols, and also dons the hat of Chief Cultural Officer at UFlex. Before we begin, I would like to remind you that management will make forward-looking statements during the course of this call, and our actual results could differ materially. UFlex assumes no obligation to update any forward-looking statements or information which speaks as of their respective dates. Speaking first today is Group CFO Mr. Rajesh Bhatia, and then he'll be followed by Vice Chairman Mr. Chaturvedi. After that, we'll open the call to questions from analysts. Over to you, Mr. Bhatia.
Thank you. Thank you. And first of all, let me wish all of you a happy Dhanteras and Diwali. My prayer to Almighty that this Diwali may bring the best of fortunes for you. I know that the markets are not doing so well currently, so all the more important that these wishes come true, and I really hope that everybody is able to enjoy this festival with their families, and all the best to everyone. Coming to the Q2 results for the quarter, and as we had demonstrated in the Q1 itself, that the production volume was up 10.5% in the Q1, and the sales volume was up about 12.7% in the Q1. So Q2 on both these parameters has also reported reasonable growth. So total production volume for Q2 is again up by about 9.5%, and the sales volume is up 10.5% on a YoY basis, and resulting in 26% growth in our revenues, which is partially coming from the volume growth and partially from the raw material prices increase, as we see that the Q2 of FY18, we had crude ranging in the range of about $47-$50, and in Q2 FY19, we have the crude ranging from $68-$73. So that's what really explains the 26% growth in volumes, which is driven by about 10.6% sales volume growth, and the rest is on account of the the raw material variations. EBITDA level, again, we have been able to, demonstrate a very steady growth in the EBITDA level. So EBITDA for the quarter is, again, up about 12% as compared to the Q2 of last year. And on an H1 basis also, the EBITDA is about 10% higher as compared to the H1 of FY18. At a PAT level, we marginally up, as we'd explained in the the calls last time also, that this is due to the effect of higher interest costs as well as the depreciation which we are incurring for the Sanand facility, which currently is not reflecting in the business of that. So we still there are still under recoveries on that account, and I think as we go along, we will ensure that that business is ramped up as quickly as possible, so that about 20 crore, which is on account of interest and depreciation of these two, that has to be absorbed by higher volumes coming from the our aseptic packaging business. This quarter also gives me the pleasure to tell you that this is the highest ever quarterly turnover we've achieved in a quarter of about 2,000 crores. On a standalone basis, again, this has been the quarter where we've achieved the highest ever turnover. The individual businesses, packaging films, India, as well as, if we see the overall packaging film volumes, I think they are also the highest ever in a quarter. And the India packaging films business, as well as the Poland packaging film business, have also, given their best volume performance during this quarter. And we had this quarter some, mark-to-market because of the foreign exchange fluctuations of about 8 crores, but this EBITDA is considering all those effects of that foreign exchange fluctuation, as we see the Indian rupee depreciating substantially against the dollar during this quarter. But largely in the Indian businesses, we're not hedging any of our imports or our dollar liabilities, so that has come to affect the EBITDA a bit. And the EBITDA of 265 crore this quarter has about 8 crores on account of the foreign exchange fluctuations, without which it would have been about 273 crores, as we say. I think we are able to, so the main theme this financial year has been that, we've been able to grow our volumes, both on the production as well as the sales side. We are ensuring that the capacities what we have already installed are utilized to the max, and that's where they ultimately result in higher revenue and higher profitability. And the focus is clearly on improving the utilization levels and also make the aseptic packaging business sustainable as we go in the H2 of the FY19, and we had given a guidance that we're looking at about 1.5 billion packs exit run rate. I think we still sure of achieving that number by March of 19. And that's where, we are. On the debt side, there is no really anything to report, because there have been normal repayments which have been made. There hasn't been much debt which has been added because of any fresh loans taken, or there were some small amounts of the facilities which we had already committed, which were drawn down during this period. But again, on a net basis, you know, we've not added any debt during this quarter. As I've been saying that, you know, the EBITDA margins for the polyester BOPET films continue to be good, and they were better in this quarter also. And we have, you know, today the increased profitability is definitely taking higher BOPET prices and into consideration. On the packaging side, you know, whenever you have abnormal increase in the raw material prices, that affects the profitability of that business, because as I said earlier, there's always a lag in that business of between 1 month to 3 months. So a stable crude as well as a stable exchange works very well for that business. You know, but during these turbulent times, we are also, you know, talking to some of our customers to, you know, that such a wide variation in the prices affects the stability of the sustainability of the businesses. So we keep on talking to them about, you know, how do we make it more sustainable both for us as well as for them. And clearly, as we go along into the H2, the endeavor is to, you know, piggy bank on a volume growth coming from the films division as well as the packaging division. The packaging division, still we have, you know, much more headroom to increase our production. We have enough capacity. We today doing about this quarter we did about 21,000 tons, so which means about 85,000 tons on an annualized basis. But we have headroom there, because currently, you know, excluding our aseptic packaging business, we have capacity of about 135,000 tons in the packaging business, which we looking to, you know, ramp up as we go into the H2 and the subsequent periods. So overall, good quarter for us in terms of the physical as well as the financial performance. And there have been a lot of product innovations. There are there's a lot of noise around, you know, the recyclability. And I think as we go along into the call, I'll request Anand Shri Chaturvedi to, you know, to inform you about some of the new product launches that we've done, some of the, you know, R&D efforts as well as the other efforts on the product side, which we keep on doing. To obviously, the endeavor is to be, you know, giving first solutions to the customers and, you know, keep on, you know, innovating this, so that, you know, that commoditized things, how can you extract the maximum value out of your innovation which you ultimately have to, you know, offer to the customers. So that's more or less sums up the you know, the performance for this quarter, and I'll hand over to Rajesh to further steer the discussions.
Hello.
Can we open it up for questions?
Yeah. So you may now request Mr. Anand Chaturvedi to give some light on the products and the R&D efforts, and then we'll open up for the question and answer.
Perfect. Yes. Am I audible?
Yes.
Wonderful. Thanks, Rajesh. Thank you, Mr. Bhatia. So, you know, I would like to give an update. First of all, it's wonderful to be on this call, and, you know, happy celebrations and holidays to everyone who's celebrating in India this week. You know, I'd like to talk a little bit about UFlex and where we are today from a strategic perspective. So if you take a look, you know, at our past projects and our sort of, you know, rate of development and rate of growth over the last couple of years, you see that, you know, we've grown in, you know, sectors like Asepto and our liquid and new product divisions, while at the same time, you know, we've actually worked very hard pretty much since 2013 to consolidate our global commodity businesses, you know, and that includes our packaging business in India as well, which is a very interesting, healthy mix of specialty and commodity. But we've done, I think, an excellent job of consolidating our global assets and then resetting the strategy for where the direction of those businesses are really going to go. And this quarter, you'll see, if, you know, after a long time, we're getting some relief, which is a natural market relief, on the prices of polyester and, you know, other sort of substrates. BOPP and other things are also beginning to catch up, although, you know, that market is going through a very interesting time right now. But if you look at our major product, which is polyester, PET film, you know, we're going through a very interesting cycle from consolidation to now priming ourselves to, for growth, but a very strategic kind of growth, which is basically very, very product specific. So if you've been following, you know, some of the news stories and some of our product developments, you'll see that in Pack Expo this year we launched you know, a variety of new products. Our balloon film, you know, our for specialized for the balloon market, our high barrier metallized film, which is, you know, one of the highest barriers that any film can achieve, and actually competes with films from other, you know, non-Indian and other sort of Asian and, you know, the European manufacturers. And then, you know, our nylon replacement film, you know, which is basically taking advantage of the fact that the nylon market has had a huge shortage over the last couple of years. And no PET film today can replicate those kind of barriers and substrates. So, you know, our film is a step in the right direction from that perspective. The film that actually has been, you know, has everyone buzzing has been our concept film. So the idea really, I took it from, you know, automotive, where you launch a concept car to showcase the design direction and the technology direction of the firm, you know, that a particular company is sort of headed into. So we said, why not apply the same concept in packaging and in polymers, and we launched a concept film, which is a world's first completely disruptive, completely unique product, which is about 40% less dense than the current films, that any film that exists in the market today. But it's double the strength and double the barrier. Along with being 40% less dense, because you're using 40% less material, it's actually also significantly greener and much, much more easily biodegradable and much better for the environment. So, you know, this concept film, Biome, which is about, I would say, about 8 to 12 months away from actual production, is a very, very good indication of where UFlex R&D is headed. We're really a company that's in transition between our stable of commodity and specialty products to now going towards, you know, much, much more specialty products, and reaching a point where the majority of what we do is specialty, with a sort of a baseline in commodity, because we have to participate a little bit in that market and provide customers the overall solutions, the overall packaging solutions, the macro packaging solutions that our customers seek. So, you know, that's sort of, you can see that's the sort of design and implementation direction that UFlex is heading today. Mr. Bhatia talked some very interesting things about sustainability. That also is actually a fantastic opportunity that we are seeing evolve today from a product perspective. You know, sustainability is something that we've been discussing, especially, you know, in the internal sort of polymer tables for a very long time. A lot of different solutions exist in the market today. A lot of different solutions exist to go green, and, you know, there are different varying degrees of biodegradability and different types of that biodegradability that, you know, that we all can read up about. However, you know, now there's realistically a conversation starting about sustainable films and about really, you know, making films that are good for the environment and provide a very, very low carbon footprint. So if you look at, you know, our portfolio, we're the market, actually current market leader in that. We're the only filmmaker in the world that makes a 90% post-consumer recycled waste film. where we're taking 90% of the raw material from used post-consumer recyclable waste, bottles, packets of chips, and etc. And we have, through our unique process, we're converting it back into actually base film that's being used in a variety of markets. The lead of this has been really the market for labels. And if you read a lot of read recently about CPM and other sort of label manufacturers going towards this direction with 90% PCR, there's very, very few companies that can provide that solution. Really only us that have taken the lead in that. So some very, very interesting things from that perspective. But the key thing, I think, the key takeaway is that, we're a company sort of in transition, and we're transitioning our R&D development and the way we develop new products and deploy new products from now a global perspective and a sort of exposure, global exposure on both the Western front as well as the Asian way of, launching and sort of going after these new products and these new opportunities. The same way, if you look at our pricing strategy, when it comes to our current range of products, we've taken the most aggressive stand in the market, and we're getting the most value for our investors in terms of getting them, the lion's share of price increases that we can get after from the marketplace. If you do a market survey, you'll see that UFlex ranks currently as the number one price leader in the market in most of the areas that we're participating in. And that's been a very strategic focus by Chairman, myself, and the senior management team to go after the global markets in that way to get the best, as I said, lion's share of returns. So I think Mr. Bhatia, Mr. Agarwal, that's it from my side. I think we can open up for questions.
Yeah. Thank you, Mr. Chaturvedi. Karuna, we can take questions.
Sure, sir. Thank you very much, sir. Ladies and gentlemen, we will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking questions. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. Thank you. The first question is from the line of Rahul Veera from Abacus Asset Management. Please go ahead.
Good evening, sir. Just wanted to understand in terms of the pricing power of our company, how much is it easier to pass on the prices with the crude prices playing a spoil sport? And also the demand supply mismatch in the BOPET, how is it affecting us? What are the views, our views from the medium to long term perspective?
So I think if you look at the way the demand is for the BOPET films, I think both India and overseas, it's very evident that, we are increasing volumes. The film volumes this quarter, the packaging film volumes this quarter has gone up by about 9%. And as we are, we said on the earlier calls that, we fully sold out in Poland, we fully sold out polyester in U.S., we fully sold out in Egypt, which means that as you increase your capacity utilizations, so your pricing power is much better when you go through these kind of a cycles where the raw material prices are increasing. And that's, if you see for the last two quarters when the prices are increasing for the crude, the raw materials, so we've been able to pass on to the customers fully till date. And the demand supply on the polyester side looks quite, good. And we feel that, sometime in the near future, we will have to look at, some sort of a capacity expansion at our overseas.
Right.
So that, we don't lose out on our market share and somebody takes away that. So currently, the demand supply and the raw material pricing being passed on to the customer, I can say that, you know, it's much more than even the raw material prices have been passed on to the customer. As Anand Shri said, that we've taken a leadership position in the pricing, both driven by the value adds to the customers as well as delivering them, you know, the committed quantities and the quality. So obviously from a price point today, there is clearly, we are seeing a margin expansion in BOPET in this quarter.
So any large BOPET projects do you see coming up in the next 2 to 3 years?
I think we not too focused on that, but, you know, clearly I find that next 2 years the things look to be bit stable. Next 18 to 24 months, the things look to be a bit stable. There will be capacities coming in. It's not that the capacities will not be coming in, but are they going to destabilize the demand-supply situation? I think the answer is no. That's how it looks like.
Right. Fair point, sir. Yeah. Thank you so much, sir.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Jitin Parmar from Aurum Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah. Good evening. And thanks, Anand ji, for joining for the call. Rajesh ji, thanks for elaborate presentation. I have a few questions. The question, basically, I wanted to first find out what are the spreads in the films in BOPET and BOPP, India and international.
So I see that, you know, currently if we look at, obviously, we making our overseas business is, in the films is making a higher margin than India. So India, if I tell you that in the last quarter, we had a situation where the prices were for the BOPET films were about 140 rupees. And the raw material cost was about 90 rupees. So there's about a 50 rupees gross value addition. In the overseas markets, particularly in, you know, in the matured markets, it's a bit higher than what we had in India in this quarter.
Okay. And this price lag, we talked about it in the last conference call also. Will crude moderating, will it help us in the further quarters, or, I mean, how does it work?
So I think the demand supply is what drives the prices on the film side. Okay. Mm-hmm. So if the crude moderates and it is more stable and all that, so it will bring more stability to the packaging business, which today, because of a huge variation that we've seen in this quarter, for the last two quarters, I'll say, not even this quarter, has been a bit underperforming because, you know, last quarter and again this quarter, the prices increased substantially for the crude. And because they work on a lag effect, so their performance, you know, goes down. But, you know, as the margins in the film businesses have been improving, given the demand-supply equilibrium situation, in the polyester film industry. So we've been able to offset that, lag effect to a very large extent, and that is why you find that, you know, even with that lag effect, the EBITDA has improved. Given the constant prices, I think it will augur well for the packaging film business.
Okay.
Packaging business, sorry, packaging.
Yeah. So on Asepto, have you been able to add any clients? And I mean, what is the status there? Is the plant EBITDA positive, or does it still burn money, or what is the status? And also on the machinery, we had some issues with, you know, machinery and all that. Is that getting sorted out?
So
machinery means I'm talking about the packaging machine on the plant side, you know.
Yeah. So on the plant side, we still not EBITDA positive. So, you know, then if we are not a bit of positive, there is no question of interest and depreciation recovery. We today at about 32 customers in all three segments, and our trial runs at 67 customers have been successfully completed. Some of the customers who were importing these from China, and you know, they are also affected in a big way because of this rupee depreciation. So they are also, we may be close to finalizing a big contract with all these customers also who've been China customers, because, you know, they also are looking for more price stability and the local availability, they can order as per their, you know, immediate requirements, and they don't have to import it. So their import lots can be much smaller. On the filling lines we have already commissioned two, and we've closed the deals for seven lines, and the rest we will complete by the end of this fiscal.
Okay, and so my question, next question is basically on this move towards, you know, the transition of the company towards specialty and value-added solutions. How much of, you know, would that be a part of the company in the sense that, you know, revenue and bottom line rise in the next 3 or maybe even 5 years? If some color can be thrown on that, what is our aim?
So I think I'll request Anant Shiri to kindly help us with his insights onto that.
Sorry, could you repeat the question?
Yeah, I mean, since we are moving, having a transition from, more of commodity business to specialty solutions, how much of that would reflect in revenue in the next 3 to 5 years?
Oh, honestly, our target, sir, is to have it reflect completely on revenue, you know. If you look at it, our average, margin is, today somewhere between, 13 to 17%, if you, average it out across the board. Our target is to take this above 25%, especially within the next, 3 to 5 years, which is a very long-term view in our perspective and from our business, cycle perspective. So, our target is to raise the, average margins across the board, but especially start capturing margins that are, 25 to, between the range of 25 to 35%, as opposed to playing, in places where the margin is, has been traditionally in our business between 5 to 15%, which has 15% being the excellent category of the margin. So, our entire focus is basically on putting up, the bottom line numbers, which, of course, take into account, top line growth and top line numbers. Our entire focus is, to do this from a revenue perspective, in complete totality.
Okay, great. So my next question is basically on the WOPET. Since WOPET is not recyclable, and there have been instances where, especially in Maharashtra where I live, there's a lot of issues from the Pollution Control Board about EPR and all that. I mean, is there, what are we thinking in terms of, if something happens to WOPET, it gets, there's a ban or something, how are we going to mitigate that risk?
Sure. Let me answer that. So if you look at the ban, and if you look at the Maharashtra ban as well, sir, it's really, to be honest with you, more focused on really the low end of the polyethylene market, the ban is more on sort of cheap plastic bags and cheap plastic polymers that are very commonly used, are very commonly, thrown about and shown in litter categories and things like that. Unfortunately, polymers in general and packaging and plastics in general have a poor PR with regards to, getting blanket bans and things like that. But BOPET, if you look at BOPET by itself in isolation or even in a metallized form, is actually recyclable. You can bring it back to someone like us and we'll reprocess it and make it again, which is what we're doing. If you look at our post-consumer recycled waste film, which I talked about in our call, which we are doing about a 90%, you know, we're taking 90% of our film comes from raw materials that are not coming from crude. And those raw materials are being collected from a landfill, being brought to a reprocessor like us, and then reprocessing them and putting them back into our film. So, you know, OPET by itself, I don't believe is under threat or under attack. However, there are alternatives that we already have within our portfolio. So if you look at our green film, you know, which we take a combination of, raw material from sugarcane, molasses, as well as algae, and you combine that with our post-consumer recycle waste film, we're actually making 100% green oxy-biodegradable films. And a wide variety of biodegradable films. So, you know, there are options that already exist, as well as, you know, our R&D is working on other options that, you know, are looking at a variety of solutions. Some of them are very, very disruptive when it comes to recyclability and clearing up the landfill problem in the future. UFlex, I would say we're trying to take a lead in being one of the companies in doing that, especially in the Asian and to the Indian subcontinent from that perspective. But there's a wide variety of technologies that we are seeing in display in trade shows and in meeting with our technology partners and our vendors that's coming about. So a blanket ban, if you see it, you know, even the Maharashtra ban had a limited effect on the actual amount of polymer consumption because there's really no way to replace, you know, the high barrier structures that packaging provides today with paper, aluminium, or glass with the same cost effectiveness and the same logistics advantages and the same sort of durability and robustability. So, you know, it's a moving target, sadly, and I can't give you a very specific answer, but the more specific answer is the clearer the regulation will be and the clearer the rules will be with regards to, you know, landfill recyclability and what is banned and what is not banned. That will help shape the future of the industry quite a bit. Unfortunately, right now, with the vagueness with which government policies and not only in India, but all across the world, even globally, the vagueness with which this is implemented, it does not lead to a specific outcome any which way, you know.
Great. Thanks for putting some color on this. Really appreciate the view and the answer. My final question is basically on the PNL side.
Operator. Mr. Parmar, may we please request you to rejoin the queue for follow-up questions?
Sure.
The next question is from the line of Ayush Patada from Equitas Investments. Please go ahead.
Hello. Hi, sir. Sir, I wanted to ask, so when do you see, now that BOPET situation has stabilized and the margins have been good, so for how long is this likely to continue? How long has, how long are the margins expected to remain at this level?
So I think that we've already answered that question that, you know, we see a stable market for the BOPET for the next 18 to 24 months.
18-24 months. And for BOPP, when do you expect the situation to stabilize?
The worst is already over there. We saw it in the last quarter. So this quarter is a slight improvement over the last quarter.
Okay.
Difficult to really predict that as we stand today.
Right. And I also wanted to ask about the JBF Industries, the plant that had shut down. So what is the situation over there going? Is it going to revive the plant, which can affect, you know, your demand-supply situation again?
I think, I think there is some solution around their Indian operations.
Okay.
But, we have no news of their other factory in Dubai starting up.
But if that starts, will it affect the BOPET margins again, the situation, demand-supply situation? Will it get affected because of that, if that revives?
I don't think so, really. It's not going to be a major differentiator.
Okay. So, thank you. That's it from my side.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Kunal Bhatta from First Water Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you. Good evening. So I have a question on Asepto, continuing from the discussion with another participant. So given that we are currently not EBITDA positive, what is the capacity utilization level that we are foreseeing over the coming 2-3 quarters? And, what is our target in terms of breaking even post on an EBITDA level, and secondly, at a level where we can absorb the interest and depreciation as well?
So I think as we've already guided, we're looking at an exit run rate of about 1.5 billion packs by
March.
By March. And
right. So what would that translate into in terms of utilization levels?
So that is about 45%.
Okay, so 45% for the last quarter, Q4.
Yeah. At which levels we'll be a bit positive on the operating costs.
Okay, okay. And most of this is likely to come as a ramp-up from the 32 customers who are already, you know, on board, or you see any triggers in respect of the customers who are currently under approval?
So the approval customers also, I think we will have a fair amount of clarity as to how those things are panning out. I think the good part is that, you know, all those customers are engaged today. There are trial runs, multiple trial runs, which are going through with those customers. So at some point in time, you know, they'll be converted into the business, because if they are serious, only then only they are spending time and money to, you know, make these trials and take up these trials and all that.
As Mr. Chaturvedi mentioned, that going forward in terms of the value-added products, 25% is what is the target in terms of EBITDA on that set of products, so to say. So is Asepto also something where we can...
No, Asepto is not part of that.
Okay.
So what he said about the value-added films, what we want to do, which we are separately focused on, so that does not include Asepto.
Right, but on Asepto, we would obviously have better margins than the rest of our product basket.
Yeah, so Asepto, we'll be happy anyway in the range of 18 to 22% of better margins, depending on the level of utilization of the plant.
Right, right. Now, my other question is more on the capital allocation. So, our industry, our peers like Polyplex, etc., they have, you know, having pretty high dividend payouts, and they have also gone on record to say that because a lot of cash has been sitting overseas with overseas subsidiaries, and the same holds true for us, given that there has been a rupee depreciation, does it make sense for us to plow back some of the capital in the overseas subsidiaries to the parent?
I think we don't we have to. We don't have a discussion on this as a management team as yet, and that's why, you know, I think it's not possible for us to answer this.
So is this something that you would like to define internally in the coming, you know, quarter, or by next quarter, do you think we can hear something on this?
I think we'll put it up to the management, to the chairman, and then let's see, because, you know, I really can't say that, you know, whether we have, we'll use that capital to grow or to bring that capital to return back to India.
Okay, okay, fair enough. And on the holography division expansion, what is the timeline? When do we expect ramp up on that?
So I think we're a bit delayed on that. So probably by the end of this fiscal, we'll have that completed.
Okay, and we've setting up a greenfield in Ireland, but I believe we already have something in Poland. So wouldn't that have been a better choice to do a brownfield there?
Who said that we're doing a greenfield in Ireland?
No, sorry, you are planning to expand in Ireland, right?
No, we've not said that.
Okay.
Ireland, maybe for some different or purpose or some... you know, we're there today in UK, and you know, given that if there's a Brexit issues and all that, we're just preparing ourselves.
Understood. So it's more from a market access point of view,
yeah,
rather,
yeah,
than anything else. Hello?
Yes.
Yeah, okay. Thanks. That answers my question.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Runjun Jain from Nirmal Bang Securities. Please go ahead.
Thank you for the opportunity. So most of the questions have been answered. I just want one clarity. What Mr. Anandji was saying, that he has desire to achieve margins overall, consolidated margins of around 25% in list in next 3 to 5 years. Is it right?
No.
So what was that, sir, which I missed?
No, he said that, you know, we're looking to develop the value-added products which will give us the margins in that range as compared to a conventional commoditized films, which gives you a margin in the range of 5 to 15%.
Okay, so those are the specific products probably we were talking about.
Yes. Absolutely.
Okay, so just this thing, this quarter we have seen an, quite a stark increase in the power and fuel. So this is something due to the enhanced production of aseptic, or this is something overall because the raw material price inflation we have seen?
So I think because of the increase in the prices of diesel and petrol, the transportation has become expensive. You know, some of the plants where you use the DG sets and all that stuff, and some of the units, the power costs have gone up because we buy power from the grid or we generate our own power also at times. So all the raw materials relating to energy costs have gone up, so that's why this cost. A part of this is also because of the higher volumes. A part of this is also because of the higher cost during this quarter.
Fair enough. So just why we have seen little margins have been on subdued basis if you've seen the last 5-7 quarters if you've seen. So any...
So margins are not subdued, you know, currently. So that's what is the misnomer. Because, you know, what happens in our industry is if the crude move... So suppose today I make, when the crude is $50, say, suppose I make 13% EBITDA margin. At a crude, when it is $80, I will still make that absolute margin, which in terms of my revenue may become 12.5%. And that's how we see it in the context of a higher, the revenues. But those revenues are only cost neutral. They don't give me an extra EBITDA margin.
Okay.
Unless there is the margin expansion because of the demand supply situation. So a crude price increase of almost 46% in Q2 as compared to in Q2 of last year. So that gets reflected in the top line, but difficult to say that, you know, it should give you, your margins will remain the same.
Okay, sure. Fair enough. Thank you, sir.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Adani Ram Sharma, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
I'm an individual investor. Good evening. My question is, any planning to unlock value of Nodaland in future?
No, there's no such thought at this point in time.
And what about the Sanand plant capacity utilization?
We've already answered that question by saying that by end of this physical, we should be looking at about 40 to 45% capacity utilization of that.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Ameya Mahulkar from MK Global. Please go ahead.
Sir, what are your expansion plans in India and outside India?
So no expansion plans in India.
Okay.
On a global size, as I've been saying that, you know, we are actually doing better than our, assigned capacities and all that. And there may be some opportunities there to do a brownfield or greenfield expansion. So I think we will do some expansion for our overseas BOPET facility in EU.
Okay. So can I get a...
India, there is no expansion plan.
Okay. So can I get a volume details for film business, converting and aseptic?
No.
Okay. Okay. Thank you, sir. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Mohit Agarwal from India Capital. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. My question is basically on,
Just a follow-up question on the margins we've been discussing in the call. Is that on the absolute basis, if you see on the second quarter, our gross margin, gross profit has gone up by roughly around 110 crores. But if I see the cost, most of the cost heads have gone up by like 25-30%, you know, the power and fuel, the HR expense, interest and depreciation, I understand is on account of Asepto, but even the other cost has gone up by 25-30%, which has basically eaten away all the absolute gross margin addition we've done over the last year. So in effect, we are continue to having the same bottom line, and we are already, you know, on not a very high return on equity. So is there a strategy to improve on return on equity? You think there's some scope of improvement in all these cost heads, considering that we are already in a very robust business cycle and also capacity utilization?
So I think the capacity utilization levels will only go up from here. So we seeing improved demand for Whoppet in all the all the jurisdictions we are in. So we don't see anything happening over there. I think a huge you know, upside for us is in our flexible packaging, including the Asepto packaging business. So our packaging business, we have a total capacity of about 135,000 tons. And today we are doing about between 85 to 90,000 tons a year. Asepto is clearly, we have a 3.5 billion packs capacity, and, you know, we're looking to ramp up that. So in the next 2 years, the endeavor is to, first is to get close to 135,000 tons of your packaging capacity, as close as you can, and also ramp up the aseptic packaging business. And as I said, that if there's an opportunity on the Whoppet expansion, just because you have to protect your turf, in some of the jurisdictions where you're working, so we will look at an expansion over there. But our net effect of the first two things, where you have capacity created and your utilization is currently low, that's what you need to ramp up to deliver higher returns to the stakeholders.
Okay. All right. So can you tell me, besides the interest and depreciation, which is about 20 crores on account of Asepto, obviously not recovered from the current operation, what is the other fixed operational costs? Like, you know, what are the salaries or what are the power costs? Or
no,
other
I don't think we can't. We'll not be able to share that much of the data.
Okay, so can you tell us some kind of production level where you think it will be EBITDA positive? I'm not asking you the timeline.
It will be EBITDA positive at about 30% capacity utilization also at our aseptic packaging.
Okay, so and as on date today, what would you guess would be the utilization level?
So you have close customers. We'll be close to that, but you know, we will rather like to give guidance that, you know, we are targeting at about 40-45% capacity utilization run rate by the end of this fiscal.
Okay. So one last question. What about the big clients? I mean, can you tell us about these 22 clients a little bit in detail, like which is the, what kind of revenue you are getting from the biggest of the 32 clients you already have? And what kind of revenue or what kind of volume you see from the big ones, you know, the ones we've been doing multiple trial runs, as you said. So can you differentiate between those profiles, like the big ones and so far what you have and how big they are?
So we have about 60% of the clients who are in the juice business. We have about 15% clients in the dairy business and rest in the liquor business. That's all I can currently share with you.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Jiten Parmar from Aurum Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks again. My last question was on the tax side. You know, our tax incidence has gone up. Is that because of the some stops going away or?
I think that's only because of the fact that, you know, in Egypt, we were so far zero tax paying company because of the investment incentives and all that. So from this fiscal, we will have to pay our taxes in this. Poland, we are still in a tax-free period, and in Dubai, we are still, Dubai is in any case a tax, no tax zone. And again, the Mexico, we have a much more, much improved performance this fiscal as compared to the last year. And again, you know, that's a tax-paying jurisdiction. So I think the net effect of these is a bit higher tax incidence on the company.
What about India?
India is we not. India is almost the same. India is not.
Okay. That's the only question I have.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Siddharth Rajpurohit from JHP Securities. Please go ahead.
Good evening, sir. So is it possible for you to give the breakup of operating profit in BOPT and BOPP?
Absolutely not, sir.
No, sir. So the gross margin?
I've given you our dominance, where we have a dominant position as to what were the prices this quarter and what were the raw material costs this quarter. I think we can't drill down into more details to give you a product-wise levels.
Okay. But the difference will be what, 10 rupees a unit or somewhere around that, sir?
BOPP is the market which is an oversupply market today. So definitely the margins are lesser there. We had a situation in last quarters where, you know, in India people were even selling at their costs, you know, just covering their, you know, the costs as such. The market has become a bit better Q2 versus Q1, but, you know, we still not giving any guidance purposely on that. One, given that we are a very small player in that market, and secondly, you know, we still don't know where the market, you know, goes. On the BOPET, I think I had given you enough data on as to what were the selling price points and the cost price points.
Right, sir. So films will be what percentage of the packaging total sales that we have reported, sir?
Films, I didn't get you.
The film business?
Yeah.
Will be contributing how much to the overall packaging, or is it completely consumed in-house?
No, the films are partially sold in-house in India, but overseas all the films that we make are sold, you know, outside India.
Okay.
Are sold to the third party. No part of that is used in our plants.
Okay. So that will be how much percentage of the sales, sir?
So if you say that overseas is current, just give me a moment. So we had a revenue of 132 million in Q1. Sorry. Just give me a moment.
Yes, sir.
H1, we had a revenue of $260 million in our overseas business.
Fine, sir. Thank you. I'll do my calculation. And thank you very much, sir.
Thank you.
Thank you. Reminder to all the participants to ask a question. You may press star and one on your touchtone telephone. As there are no further questions from the participants, I now hand the conference over to the management for their closing comments. Over to you, sir.
Yeah. Thank you, everyone, for joining us today. And we look forward to staying in touch in future quarters. Have a nice day. Take care.
Thank you,
everybody, for being on the call.
Thank you so much.
Thank you, sir.
Ladies and gentlemen, on behalf of Edelweiss Securities Limited, that concludes this conference call. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines.